It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. And in our Bible study segment today, we're pleased to have Connie Stanfill back teaching us again. Connie, thanks for joining us. And today, looks like we're learning about lesson number 30, the Son of Man Must Suffer. What are we learning about today?
Well, we're going to really find out what Jesus' mission is and how he explained it to his disciples and actually how that mission is going to impact them as his disciples. And to tell you the truth, it turns their world upside down. Mm. So we are in Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 38. And then we're also going to take the first verse of chapter 9 because it fits together with this section. I will read the entire section and then we'll go back through it. Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said this to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Well, here in verse 31, we have Peter. This is just after Peter had declared that Jesus is the Christ. And then in verse 31, Jesus begins to teach them what that means. And so he says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Interestingly, Jesus now calls himself the Son of Man, which he's done before in the Gospel of Mark. And really, the Son of Man is an apt description for Jesus, and it's his favorite way of describing himself or referring to himself, because the Son of Man makes us think of the passage in Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, where it talks about the Lord coming with glory like a Son of Man and how he's going to rule over all the earth. And so Jesus is speaking right here of both his coming glory and rule, but also of his human nature. And he's going to go on and talk about in the rest of this verse here, really about how he's to be a suffering servant. And God's way for him is to be rejected by the leaders of the people, the Sanhedrin, and he's going to be killed. And he's then going to rise again after 3 days. And it says, verse 32, and he said this plainly. And so he very clearly told this to the disciples, and they understood the words, but they didn't understand what God was doing. This didn't make sense to them, because then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So interestingly, Peter, the leader, the one who seems to jump forward and boldly speak when other people don't know yet what to say, his mouth works, he begins to rebuke Jesus and say, "No, Lord, this isn't how it's going to be." And really what we're seeing is this is not how Peter wants it to be. He wants Jesus to be a political Messiah. He wants him to rule. He wants the Romans to be gone. He doesn't want Jesus to suffer and die. He doesn't understand that. And then what we have in verse 32 is Jesus said to him, but turning aside and seeing his disciples, and really meaning Jesus also including his disciples in this discussion, understanding they're thinking the same things Peter has, but he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And here Jesus is saying that Peter's words, Peter's ideas, are the words of Satan, the words of the world, the words of rebellious humans who want their own way rather than God's way. And we can see how as Jesus goes through the next chapters on the way to Jerusalem, to the cross, really probably his ultimate test of his authority as Savior is going to be in resisting the temptation to take the easy way out and be a political Messiah, which he definitely could have been with his power and his leadership ability, but to take the way of the cross, to suffer and die for our sins. because that's the only way God was going to be able to forgive us of our sins. And so we see again, Peter and his other disciples don't understand what Jesus is doing. Jesus rebukes them. He is set toward Jerusalem and the cross. And then he says, you're setting your mind not on the things of God, but on the things of man. And it reminds us how God's wisdom is so much deeper and wiser than human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 talks about the foolishness of the cross. And that's what's going on here. God saved the world through his son dying. And that's not the way we normally would think a king would come to start his kingdom. But until Jesus died on the cross for God's wrath against our sin, was the atoning sacrifice for our sin, we could not be reconciled to God or brought back to him. And so Jesus' mission, his glory really is culminated in the cross and then the resurrection, because as the sinless Son of God, the perfect Lamb, he could not stay dead. What we're going to find now is that Jesus is now going to include the crowd in his teaching, and he's going to teach about more about what it means to follow him. And so in verse 34, it says, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Literally, it's keep on following me. And so those who follow Jesus give up their rights to themselves. They take up the cross, meaning they're saying, I've been a rebel against God. I've sinned against God. But now I'm turning to God, and I'm going to submit to his way. I'm going to obey what he has told me. He is the authority of my life, and I'm going to follow Jesus and go the way that Jesus did, which actually was a way of suffering and sacrifice. And then Jesus goes on and says a real paradox, which doesn't kind of make sense until you think about it. He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And it's a play on words, but Jesus is really saying, if you're going to hold on to this human life and have your life the way you want to, be captain of your own ship, do things your own way, you will lose it. But if you give over your life, if you deny yourself, if you spend and be spent for my sake, for the gospel's sake, you will gain eternal life, the real life, the life that will go on forever. And that's a concept that's in the Old Testament even, because Psalm 49 talks about how each person, even if they have a good life now, will eventually die, and they will be held accountable for what they've done in this life. We know from Romans 8:16-17 that those of us who have become adopted in God's family are fellow heirs with Jesus. But it also says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him. And that's the key. Jesus suffered as he followed God's will. How can we, as his disciples, his followers, expect that we aren't going to have the same? And then Jesus says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What does it benefit you? Makes us think of the parable of the rich man who built lots of barns and then died, and it was all wasted in the end because he'd spent his life on that which does not last. Verse 37, the Lord said, for what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, there we have generation again, this crooked generation that's rejected him, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And so now we have a glimpse that, yes, followers of Jesus will suffer as he did in this life, but there is a future glory that far outweighs anything that's going to happen in this world. Because when we know Jesus and we follow him and we serve him, when he comes again, we will rule with him, reign with him, and have all that inheritance of heaven. And then Jesus ends it in chapter 9, verse 1, when he says, and he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, again, authoritative statement, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. And so he's referring to more, another glimpse of his glory, of God's power breaking in on the human experience. And we're going to see as we go on, that's probably what is the next account, which is the account of the transfiguration for Peter, James, and John. But truly, I think the point of this passage is those who follow Jesus will be like Jesus. They will submit to the Father's will. They will do as the Father asks. They won't complain about if things aren't exactly comfortable or they lose their lives, but in the end they will gain eternity mm-hmm. with Jesus and the Father. Those of us who've heard about Jim Elliot probably remember his famous quote. He was one of the young men, missionaries to the Aka Indians, who was martyred by them in the 1950s. He said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in this passage.
Wow, that is beautiful. Ladies, are we willing to lay down our lives and pick up our crosses and follow him today? All right, well, we are going to leave it here for now, but you can find all the notes on our website at naomistable.com. This is lesson number 30, and we hope you download those notes and go even deeper. We're going to do that a little bit more when we come back.